Now Saul gave his testimony later in chapter 22 and 26. He was standing before Felix and he was rehearsing how he was converted. And he described this light that it was brighter than the noonday sun. It was an extremely bright light. So it was a heavenly light, it was a strong light, and it was seen by all, and it slew the Saul himself. This glory of the Lord drained him, it floored him, and it awakened him to the reality of the living Lord Jesus. That's what conversion is.
Welcome again to Let the Bible Speak. This is Ian Gollaher. I appreciate you joining with us as we let the Bible speak today from the pulpit of our Free Presbyterian Church on what in the world happened to Saul of Tarsus. This is the second part of this message, aired first part yesterday. We're returning to it today. We also have an item in song, and we have our question for today. How are we to spread the light of the Bible? Over this last week or two, I've been emphasizing the importance of the Bible in the Christian's life, why we need to read it, why we need to have sermons being preached in worship services, how we are to spread the light of the Bible, and how God works through preaching. Now, here is the question for today. How are we to spread the light of the Bible? Firstly, by studying it. The Scriptures demand study, meditation. It is God's book to our hearts. This Bible is the oil that fills the lamp. We are the lamp, which need to be let the oil burn through us in our daily lives. Lamplighters used to go through the streets in the early mornings, that they might allow others to walk in the light. And if we would be that lamp to others, we need to shine forth, and we must give ourselves to the study of this book until we have it burning in us. The two men on the way to Emmaus had heartburn as the Lord opened to them the Scriptures. The Bible gives the knowledge of the glory of Christ, and by this means we are changed into His image, like Moses when his face shined when he was in the mount with God. Now this is the illumination of the Spirit of God through prayer and our submission to its power in our lives. And until this book is changing us, we cannot be lights, nor can we be the lights that we need to be. We need to study it, we need to live it. The Lord Jesus said, "Let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father which is in heaven." So this is not just bookish, this is not library stuff of Christians, but this is the daily walk in the light, that others may know that we have been with Jesus. We must be doers of the word, because we are born again by the word of the Lord. Regeneration, it's not just a supernatural change of the mind, it's a change of the whole heart and desire, so that we are New Testaments known and read of all men. That is, seed sown in the spring soil proves its life and power by growing and showing forth the new nature. Christians are commanded to grow in grace and in the knowledge of the Lord. That command was given as the antidote to heresy. And if you're not a growing Christian in the Word, then error will creep in. We're to let this light shine by teaching it. Our Lord said in Matthew 5:19 that we shall do and teach them. Do and teach is surely the meaning of not hiding our light, but actively letting it shine. Everyone who is born again by the Word is a student of the Word and puts this Word into practice as a doer, called to be a teacher. Elders are men who are apt to teach. Ministers are given gifts of the Spirit to teach. Missionaries are called to teach and preach Jesus Christ That is the Great Commission. Go ye into all the world and preach the gospel, and lo, I am with you alway. This is our great work. And for this, we have Sunday school classes, catechism classes, and preaching services. To the work. We have a responsibility. Let all our talents and resources be used to this end. Now, others who are ignorant of the word, we are to teach them also. We are to bring this word to their attention and placard it before them. And so, this is our work. Another task that is given to the people of God, and that is translating the Bible into the common language of the people. In our Westminster Confession of Faith, there is a little section on the need to translate the Bible into common languages. Let me read it. But because these original tongues are not known to all the people of God, who have right unto an interest in the Scriptures, and are commanded in the fear of God to read and search them, therefore they are to be translated into the vulgar or common language of every nation, unto which they come, that the word of God dwelling plentifully in all, they may worship him as an acceptable manner, and through patience and comfort of the Scriptures may have hope. This is because it is every man's responsibility to search and read the Scriptures. This is a Bible principle. The Word of God must be brought to all men. And therefore, I appeal to you today to the study, the preaching, the teaching of God's precious Word. In my home country, back in the land of Ireland, although I was born in Northern Ireland, which is part of Great Britain, this was one of the tragedies of the Protestant Reformation. In those years, 1400s, 1500s, the Bible was not translated into the common language of the Irish people. And for centuries, those people did not know the gospel. And the fruit of it has been reaped over the years, keeping the people of Ireland in a spirit of bondage. And it is the work of every evangelist, every gospel worker, every Christian, that the light of the gospel may shine into the hearts of men and women. I highly recommend to you the ministry of the Trinitarian Bible Society. If you go to our website, you will find a link to that organization. And they do a marvelous job of translating and of distributing the Word of God in a number of different languages. And I trust that you will take this to heart and pray earnestly that God will publish and send forth His Word throughout the earth. Now we're turning to our message today. What in the world happened to Paul the Apostle?
You'll notice that this was really a rebellion to Christ. In verse 4, Saul fell to the earth and heard a voice saying unto him, Saul, Saul, why persecutest thou me? This is the madness of this. You see, Saul of Tarsus was setting himself against the Son of God. He was destroying his people and his church, and there was an obvious rebellion against the Lord Jesus. Let me be very honest and frank with you here today. If Christians annoy you, if the values, the standards, the witness, the worship of Christians annoy you, you're really against the Lord Jesus. And you're kicking against Him and hardening your heart against His rule and against His love. And you have to understand the hostility that is in your heart to the Lord. I'm not sure how I can explain that. I'm not sure how I can illustrate how you're despising a Christian or the cause of the gospel is translated into despising the head of the church, the Lord of glory. I suppose it's like me looking out the window and seeing a little brat walking all over my flower bed. I'm putting myself now in this callous streak. And I open the window or the door and I yell out something really cruel and maybe threaten. And then if they come back, oh, that was just a threat, but it was a real threat. And you come bounding out, barreling down to drive off that kid from your flower bed. And the parents across the street looking on. How does he or she translate your hostility to their child doing something relatively harmless? And not just against my child, against me. And when I witness your annoyance, your bitterness, your actions against my child, it goes right into my heart. You can't expect to be the friend of the parent if you're ready to threaten and act against the child. Now let me ask you today, is your heart right? Have you given up this spirit of rebellion and come to realize that you need to be stopped from your madness and brought into the family of God with a new heart? So that's what Saul was converted from. If you're a Christian today, you can testify that you've been converted from these serious things. You're now a new person, and you love the church, the people of God, because you love the Lord. And Christians are no longer annoying. Well, they're sometimes annoying. Oh, a Christian can push you the wrong way. But a child of God that is indwelt by the Spirit delights in the fellowship of God's people. It's our joy. Are you converted? Or are you an enemy of the King, persecuting the Lord? Secondly, what Christians are converted by, we learn here. And in verse 3, you'll notice this heavenly light. And it's described for us, suddenly there shined round about him a light from heaven. Now, Saul gave his testimony later in chapter 22 and 26. He was standing before Felix, and he was rehearsing how he was converted. And he described this light, that it was brighter than the noonday sun. It was an extremely bright light. So it was a heavenly light, it was a strong light, and it was seen by all, and it slew the Saul himself. This glory of the Lord drained him, it floored him, and it awakened him to the reality of the living Lord Jesus. That's what conversion is. A soul is awakened to the living reality of the Lord Jesus. He also, in verse 5, heard the voice of the Savior. The Lord said, I am Jesus whom thou persecutest. The Lord spoke to him, I am Jesus. What an awakening. There is a time in every convert's life when they are brought to this conviction, this new reality, that this is indeed the Lord Jesus. What a revelation to the darkened mind. It was a voice of conviction, because the Lord said, why persecutest thou me? And what a staggering realization to harm a Christian is to harm the Savior himself. It was fearful stuff, and it caused the apostle to tremble. It was the voice of conviction to his soul. It was also the voice of mercy. The Lord said, it is hard for thee to kick against the pricks. That was the voice of one who cared. And of course, the greatest damage that a man is doing when he opposes the gospel and the Lord and his people is really to himself. It was the voice of mercy. He was fighting against conscience. There were pricks in this man's life. I'm sure those around him would never have known it. It's hard for thee to kick against the pricks. Saul of Tarsus and all his hardness and all his rebellion had a conscience, and it troubled him, and he fought against it. That's what you're doing right now, as you are against the Lord Jesus. Your conscience, you have to calm it. You have to resist it. You have to fight against its witness. And you'll go on all your days with a troubled conscience. He was fighting the truth. I'm not sure if he would have admitted that before the Lord revealed himself to him. But it was the truth. There was a man called Jesus. He died at Calvary, AD 33. There are some who claim that Paul may even have seen the Lord Jesus before his death. There's a possibility he may have been in Jerusalem on the day of Calvary when our Lord was crucified. And of course, the empty tomb was there. Christ was alive, and these Christians were preaching that Christ was alive. And now Paul had to face that. He was fighting, of course, the very bold witness of multiplying Christians. And I'm sure he had to stop and think, how can this be? These are people who have nothing in this world, nothing to gain, and yet they're willing to risk their properties, their families, and their lives for a man called Jesus. Surely Paul, the logician, the academic, must have sat down and pondered those very things. And here they were, spreading out, willing to abandon everything in Jerusalem, going off to other cities to live as Christians. Surely he must have asked, why would they do this? And he fought against all these facts. Now I look at you today, and you know the amazing thing in 2010? You're surrounded by Christians. We are Christians. We believe in the same Jesus. We believe in his death at the cross and his resurrection. We believe he's our only hope for heaven. We believe that there's no other way to heaven but through the Son of God. And this is our witness to you. Perhaps your mother and father has led that before you and lived it before you, family and friends. Perhaps you go to different situations and you still find Christians who are willing to endure the hardships of living out the gospel of Christianity. And you have to admit today it is hard to kick against the pricks. You'd rather not join in the workforce or somewhere where there's a living, witnessing Christian. And as I've said many times, the greatest thing that can happen to a sinner is to meet a living Christian. And Saul of Tarsus met the living Christ and Christians. Many of them.
We have heard.
You're listening to Let the Bible Speak. Thank you for joining with us on our program today. May the Lord bless you richly. We want to be of some personal help, and we offer our Let the Bible Speak quarterly magazines and other literature free of charge. If you need a Bible, a word of advice, or have a prayer request, we look forward to hearing from you. We invite you to join us for each program and to join in our weekly services by webcast. You can go to our website for all the information, letthebiblespeak.ca. Stay tuned with us through the broadcast, and we'll give you further information on the local church who sponsors these broadcasts. Our burden truly is to let the Bible speak. Our prayer is that God will speak to you through His Word. Through the reading and preaching the Word of God, we simply let the Bible speak to your heart. You will find that we also let the Bible speak in our live church webcasts on Sundays, 10:30 and 6 p.m. Pacific Time. If you cannot reach us through our website, letthebiblespeak.ca, then please call us toll-free, 1-800-969-1091. That's 1-800-969-1091. May the grace and the love of the Lord Jesus fill your heart today as we let the Bible speak and as you stay tuned with us for the message of God's Word today.
These were all pricks. These were all hardships that Saul had to play down, but they were there. So this is what he was saved by, the light of Christ and the voice of Christ. And that's how you're saved. The Lord shows himself and the Lord speaks to your heart. Saul, Saul, I put your name in there today. The voice of Jesus calling you. That's how you're saved. Then also see what Christians are converted to. And as we rattle down these verses, you'll notice in verse 6 that he became a trembling soul. Saved, converted to humility, brokenness. Pride is gone. His own claims are gone. And he trembles. That's what conversion does. Makes you a trembling soul. Verse 6, a willing soul. What wilt thou have me to do? He became willing for the will of the Lord. Are you willing today to give your life to the Savior and let him direct your life and be Lord of your life? If you want him to be your Savior, you have to take him as your King, as your Lord. In verse 11, you'll notice that Saul became a praying soul. Behold, he prayeth. I have my concerns about anyone who says they're a Christian, but they never pray. They might even have difficulty praying for their food or giving thanks for their food. You're not a praying soul. You're not converted. Don't fool yourself. Real conversion to Christ makes you a praying soul. In verse 18, he became a baptized soul. He was baptized. Now, in our culture, it's an easy thing to become baptized in a church tank. When Saul of Tarsus was baptized as a Christian, that was the breaking off. Judaism was no more. Pharisaism was no more. All his leadership as a servant of the Sanhedrin, gone. To be baptized as a Christian is to renounce everything of your old religion. And to be baptized into or to be joined with Christ and Christianity. That was a bold step. The old life was gone and a new life had come. Are you a baptized Christian today? You should be. It's not something you should neglect. You cannot be a living, obedient, vibrant, witnessing Christian without being baptized. That's something that's very important. And there are some who people say, "Ah, but I don't want to do that in public. I don't want to get wet in front of people." Let me tell you, you will delight in being a follower, a disciple of Christ. Baptism will not be a cost. It will be a privilege. It will be a delight. Then in verse 20, he became a preaching soul. And I think we know the life of the Apostle Paul, that he preached Christ in many places. Here in Damascus, later in Jerusalem, and he went around the world preaching the gospel in cities, before the doctors of the law, in synagogues, in the Parthenon of Athens, before kings and great men. Paul preached Christ. That is the power of conversion. How do you weigh up this mighty change in a convert soul? Can you say that you've been converted and now changed into a living witness for the Son of God? Remember that Paul is the pattern. What we see in him, there should be elements of in your life. The humility, trembling as a sinner, a willing soul, praying, a baptized soul, and a preaching soul. You see, you cannot be silent. You have to be a part of this witnessing for the Lord Jesus. Now, some people like to dumb down what it takes to be a Christian, what it takes to be a convert. But you'll notice here that the Bible does not play it down. In fact, Paul himself said, not many wise men after the flesh, not many mighty, not many noble are called. This is a very radical thing. The Lord Jesus said that it's easier for a camel to pass through the eye of a needle than for a rich man to enter into the kingdom of heaven. Or as the Lord said to Peter, flesh and blood hath not revealed these things unto you. And of course the Lord said, except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. This is the radical nature of conversion. It's not joining a church, signing a card, or doing some ceremony. It is that change of heart, that acceptance of the Son of God and living for him. If you're a Christian today, you can relate to this pattern of Paul. If you're not a Christian, I think you have learned today of the great need, the urgent need. And I trust that you will surrender your heart. The Lord has given you light. Here we have this glory of the gospel in the face of Jesus Christ in the written word. There's light. You know that he is the Son of God. You know that he is alive. And this is his word. He speaks to your heart. Then surrender and come. Believe the gospel. Be saved today. Is there one here that needs to be saved now? I'd like to talk with you after the meeting if there is. You can sit in the seat while others leave or just speak to me at the door. I'd love to take whatever time just to show you personally how you can be saved. And may the Lord in grace.
Thank you for listening to our Let the Bible Speak broadcast. This is Ian Gallagher. If you missed part of today's program or would like to hear it again, you can find it archived by program date on our website. Just go to www.ltbs.ca. You'll also find our podcast button on the top of the homepage of our website. We are on the air Sundays 9:30 a.m. for our full church broadcast and Monday to Friday, 5 a.m. and 5 p.m. on this station to bring you the gospel from our Free Presbyterian Church in Cloverdale. We also invite you to our church services, Sundays 10:30 and 6 p.m. Yes, we have an evening preaching service in our church at 6 p.m. Through our website, you can listen and view our church services at 10:30 and 6 p.m. Click on the Live Now button on the home page of our website. Or if you would like to talk with me one-on-one as a pastor, please give me a call. The phone number is 604-576-1091. The mailing address is 18790 58 Avenue, Surrey, BC, V3S1M6. We are located two blocks north of Number 10 Highway on 188 Street. We also have a church in Victoria, 733 Van Alman Avenue, Sundays 10:30 and 6. Our website again is www.ltbs.ca. Remember to join us here again on this station, Monday to Friday, 5 a.m. and 5 p.m. as we let the Bible speak.